The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Oh, yeah. Another BX anthem. Joining us right now, BK, Brendan Cuddy on KM to AM, covering your New York Yankees for The Athletic. My guy, I think I've had this guy on at least five times. I'm glad he's able to join us tonight after this article came out. Brendan Cuddy, how you doing?
Keith, I'm doing well, man. Thank you for having me. And it's not just a BX anthem. That's Gerrit Cole's warm-up music, right? Before he pitches, he plays Lean Back.
Yeah, they say there's a fat Joe curse on us now, though. Do you believe there's a fat Joe curse after the World Series?
You know, listen, I'm not going to hate on Fat Joe's performance. I think the spot was a little too big for him. I think that was just the wrong spot to have him. Like, the first lyrics or the words of, like, the first thing he was saying, I could still see the blank in your nose. Like, come on. This is...
I said blank.
But
I know the lyrics.
Yeah, but like you can't be on the Yankee Stadium stage in the first words of your mouth of that. Like, come on now.
It was definitely a poor choice of songs and maybe artists to perform. I was told.
Side note. I heard that was actually I don't know if this to be true, but I heard that was actually MLB's like decision.
Yes,
I was told by some members
of the Yankee brass that was not their decision. MLB chose Ice Cube and Fat Joe. You know, hip hop for the kids.
Right. Yeah, of course, G rated.
Yeah, but like you know, I got 100 guns, 100 clips. From New York. I mean, as soon as you play Ja Rule over the loudspeakers, we're cooked.
yeah, that's just. Yeah, I don't know, man. Good for Fat Joe, though. Good for him.
I'm cracking up because I saw Fat Joe like 20 minutes before he went live, and I was in the bleachers, and people were like, is Fat Joe going to perform? I'm like, nah, we don't have enough time before first pitch now. Scrap it. And then when he actually came out and people were not bopping to it, I'm like, they should have scrapped it.
Yeah, man. That was something else.
Thanks for the comedic relief in these Juan Soto sweepstakes times where people are getting a little fatigued, but I keep telling folks we're getting there. We're getting closer. This is happening soon. And like Blake Snell signs, he's out in Dodger Stadium. He's represented by Scott Boras. Scott Boras speaks. You guys are working. Will you be in Dallas for the winter meetings?
I will absolutely be in Dallas for the winter meeting.
I figured you would be. So, hey, I'll leave it to you. You know, Juan Soto bidding reaches $600 million, and in my opinion, it was never going to be lower than $600 million. The number for me is if it will reach $700 million. Just tell me how this came about and why on December 3rd this article needed to be put out there with the information that we know right now.
Well, I think it's important to let people know what we know right now, right? Like the number 600 doesn't shock anyone, but I do think that letting people know where things stand this present day as best we can is our job. And I think that's the motivation, to letting people know the lay of the land the best that we can. And that's it. So that's why we think it's important to let it out now. Not even let it out now, to report it. And as you said, Keith, the winter meetings are coming. They'll start on Monday. Who knows if Juan's, decision will last into the winter meetings, or he could have it wrapped up before the winter meetings, and then Scott Boras can use that time to put the rest of his clients on a pedestal. So
sure.
there's a lot of ways he can go about this.
Sure, I mean, with the reports from over the weekend, shout out to Randy Miller. I've seen Randy. I know you're familiar with Randy. And Randy came on this radio station with Ricky Ricardo to say that, the Yankees are at $550 million. He put them in fourth place, the Blue Jays in third place, the Mets in second place, the Red Sox in first place. In your article, it still has the Los Angeles Dodgers in there. What I'll say is, when there are a lot of reports, and there were even reports over the weekend from anonymous, not anonymous, but like random people to me on Twitter that have sources and verified badges. And I think that's another reason why you put out an article, because obviously we respect your work and Ken and Evan and The Athletic. Like, this is something that we can say, okay, is a credible source. Folks that are not clout chasing, not saying anybody else is, but like, we know that this is just a stamp in time to say, no, this is actually what we know and where we are. So it kind of debunks some other things that we just heard a day or two ago.
No, I mean, look, there's no intention of debunking anything with this story. It's all just, here's what we know right now, and here's what we're publishing right now. So, anything that has been out there is what's been out there, right? And, I can't speak to it more than that. It's just, this is what we're reporting.
Okay, good. I mean, what do you think about the whole, like, okay, Juan Soto's in the process of eliminating teams now, right? There's not that many teams from what we know, but what can you say to that as far as, like, we know that there's a few things. There's maybe a week left. We know that there's a certain amount of years. In the article, it says at least a 12-year deal, and now we know there's a floor for the salary. What can you tell us about how he's going about choosing what teams to move on from in his selection process?
Not much beyond the fact that it's happening, right? And you always knew it was going to happen, because you can't just have everyone sitting at the table the whole time, because not everyone's equal, right? The place wherever Juan really wants to go, wherever that is, isn't equal to the whoever is going to end up in fifth place. So as a courtesy to the teams who have extended you the courtesy of wanting to get to know you, wanting to pitch themselves to you, you let them down early and you let them down easy. And that's what I believe the process is now. Now, for all we know, there could have been other teams in addition to the five that are publicly have known to have been going hard and meeting him in California. So maybe he's starting with those teams. Or maybe he's going cutting straight to the chase and slimming down from the five right now. But look, man, it's Tuesday. Winter meetings are on Monday. Not a whole lot of time left. So, I mean, if he's knocking one off the board every other couple of days, like, then you have a decision. So that's where he's at. I can't tell you what it's going to come down to or what he's favoring, because only Juan knows that. But I know that I covered a guy who had a great time as a Yankee in 2024. And I'm sure the New York Yankees are banking on a lot of that.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I've been saying there is some leverage there, even though everybody wants to just say he's taking the most money. I just think it's going to be hard to go into the unknown with what we know that he just recently experienced in pinstripes. We're on the phone right now with Brendan Cuddy from The Athletic, who covers the Yankees. I talk a lot about the Boras Five. I talk a lot about how last year, Chapman, Bellinger, Montgomery, J.D. Martinez, Snell, how there was a delay in their signings and it affected all of their seasons. And how, I mean, Jordan Montgomery went and got different representation. But fast forward to this year, Blake Snell is done. Frankie Montas has done. And there's some quotes from Boris in the article where, you know, he was asked about that. He says clubs weren't interested. They just didn't call. The market for free agents last year started maybe in the middle of February. It was different. People like to register that as it has something to do with me. I'm just a functionary of the system. We've signed 6-7 players already this year. These are the process of demand. And when teams and ownerships choose to move in the marketplace, like, so Boris, like, how much do you think Boris feels that? Because I've been saying, okay, he's moving this year. And I feel like Soto's going to get done sooner rather than later. Like, some people think, oh, this could drag out until it's not dragging out. Soto's the big fish. So my question for you is, how much do you feel the pressure of Scott Boris to kind of like bounce back from last year and to get things done faster and having the big free agent in Soto this year, getting him done, you know, before the winter meetings even start?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much season that's motivating Scott, because doing this for 30-something years, more than that, maybe. And you're talking about one really outlier season last year where things didn't maybe break the way people saw things going for the so-called Boris Four. I think he sees it more as an aberration. So I think this is more business as usual, and he's operating the way he should. You know, he's got the biggest fish, and teams are going to want to know where Juan Soto is going early in the offseason so that they can set the rest of their budget. Mm-hmm. But also, Scott wants to know where Juan Soto is going early so he can send his other players in other directions. You know, Scott wants to know where Juan Soto is going so he then knows who has the most money for Pete Alonso. Mm-hmm. He wants to know where Pete Alonso and Juan Soto are going so he knows who's going to have the most money or the best opportunity for Corbin Burns. You know, it's a trickle-down.
Yeah.
Alex Bregman. It's a trickle-down on the team side and on the players and player side and on Scott Boris' side. It's working out this way because it was meant to work out this way, and I'd say last season was more of an aberration.
Okay, last thing for you. This goes to something I've been saying, too, about the Yankees and their power to spend and how the Yankees going to the World Series, they made more money than they have in any other year, and how Hal Steinbrenner came out during the owners' meeting and said a lot of things that, like, no other owners were talking about. And, you know, he didn't have to say. He said things about, I have ears and I know what's expected of me, and saying we have more financial flexibility than ever and I can sign any player. And then in your article, it ends, you know, talking about the Dodgers. And I've been saying, hey, the Dodgers went out and spent the most money last offseason. And what happened? They won. So the quote from Boris, when he was asked about the Dodgers' payroll and the luxury tax and what they've been doing with deferred contracts, or whatever, he says, I would say that, as George Steinbrenner said, whatever you do to compete, the fact that I can compete in a different way than others, so be it. I don't think that has anything to do with the number of trophies that hang over your stadium. I don't think fans remember that. Like, what do you have to say about him evoking George's name, and also the fact that, like, the Dodgers are doing a deferred money thing and the Yankees with Hal Steinbrenner? I think he's feeling a little bit of that too, George's son. Like, the Yankees have the money to swim in these waters, and the Yankees understand how much it's going to cost to get Juan Soto as well.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, I believe it's been Brian Cashman who said, in terms of deferred deals, that teams don't look at the Yankees and say, okay, defer us some money. They say, you're the Yankees, you're worth bajillion mm-hmm. dollars. Pay me now, man. And I'll get deferred money from the Washington Nationals. I'll get deferred money from these, you know, upper mid-level teams. So I don't know that the Yankees have really been the target destination or the ideal landing spot for a player who may want some kind of deferment, you know? So I don't know that that matters so much. I don't think Hal sees it like that. I think the Yankees, if the best deal they can get on Juan Soto for him to sign on the dotted line, if it involved deferred money, I think they would do it, of course. But it just really hasn't been there, hasn't materialized. And, you know, I do think that Scott invoked George, not in a way to provoke Hal, because he has a really good relationship with Hal. Hal has signed a number of his clients throughout the years. I think he did it because Scott is of George Steinbrenner's time, you know, the 90s,
yes.
2000s. You know, he things that George Steinbrenner said rung true back then, and they ring true now. So I don't put it more past. I don't put it any deeper than that. I just think it's a good line, and it's a good reference, and it's a good point.
Okay, so before I let you go, I got to get two things from you. One, a prediction of what day on the calendar this is all done, and two, who signs Juan Soto?
All right, Keith, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, just trying to get you on record so when it all comes
out.
That's for us to do. That's for us radio hosts to do.
Yeah, I would love to have that for you. You know, I've talked a lot about how, again, having covered Juan with the Yankees, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if that's where he wanted to stay. The team just went to the World Series, had a great time there. But you never know who's going to come with what. You never know what opportunities are going to arise. And you never know what his real priorities are in relative to the marketplace. So any guess I give you and any date I give you I don't think it'd be the most accurate and I look funny just like anybody else is gonna look funny because no one knows where this is going.
Right. And we're just wait. I think what it comes down to is time will expire. I just have this imaginary hourglass in my mind of the sand trickling down. And when time is expiring, you'll see who really wants him or not. You'll see how the offers move or don't move, who gets desperate, who doesn't. And then ultimately, it's this man's decision where he wants to sign. And we're going to find out in like a week or so. And that's perfectly fine. I'm not fatigued anymore. This is the last stretch of it. I'm excited for it as a Yankee fan, as a baseball fan, and as a radio host on the Fan.
Yeah, poor Juan Soto. What a tough time for this guy.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, he's got such a difficult
decision
out of him.
Sleep,
you know,
I'm sure he's losing sleep at night thinking about how rich he's going to be wherever he decides to play.
Yeah, man, it's tough, and you know, I feel for him.
Yeah, I'm just trying to not get my easy pass hit, and I'll take the train instead of riding in with the easy pass.
So that's so real. That's so real. So my easy pass. Replenishes every other week, and it's like, I put $250 in this thing. So I feel you there.
Yeah, nah, they hit me for over $400. I took the card out. I'm like, nah, I'd rather owe you. I'd rather you come get me, and I'll be on the train when you come to get me.
There you go.
BK, you're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Keith, thanks for having me, and have a good night. And everyone, thanks for listening.
Brendan Cuddy from The Athletic. Make sure you go follow him. If you follow me, his account is right there, but it's not hard to find him. It's at Brendan Cuddy NJ. He does great work. I've run into him a bunch of times at the stadium at different events, and he gave us some laughs, he gave us some insight, and he just gave us a fresh article on The Athletic if you want to know more about where we are December 3rd in the Juan Soto sweepstakes.